Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Friday. Congratulations. Congrats, grads. Hope everybody's sort of, you know, feeling proud of themselves, tapping themselves on the backs. Mazel tov. Congrats. You did it.
It doesn't really feel like a Friday. I haven't entered that Friday headspace yet.
I hate
yet.
To be like an ungrateful wench because I feel like every day we get on the show and we're like,
just hoping and wishing that it would be Friday.
Hunting and fishing and loving every day. And then we get here and I don't know. I don't want to be like ungrateful biting the hand that feeds me. But like, it's kind of like not, it's just not giving the good.
It's not giving what it needs to be giving.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's just the nature of life. Like you anticipate so long for something to come and then it comes and it just kind of sucks. And I'm not saying today sucks. I'm just saying it's not what I thought it would be.
It's not the joyous occasion that it usually is. Maybe by the end of this episode, we'll have gotten into the Friday spirit, realizing that the weekend is upon us.
I mean, I could actually pinpoint why today's not giving positive energy. And I don't want to start out complaining, but like I'm going through a lot.
Okay, well, you have to speak your truth.
I sliced my finger open yesterday, like being an animal with my rotisserie chicken. I was just eating it like so beast-like, Neanderthal-like, that I sliced really bad. The knife went, oh my God, it hurts so bad. It's literally still bleeding. I definitely like hit bone. It woke me up in the middle of the night. I was up for 2 hours in the middle of the night. Just my finger was throbbing in the Band-Aid. It took me forever to get ready today. I couldn't even do proper makeup. I probably look heinous on YouTube. Don't watch on YouTube. Listen on Spotify. Like, it's affecting me in
stitches?
All... For sure. Like, it's affecting me in all corners of my life, and I'm in immense pain. Immense pain.
Do you need to go to urgent care? Do we need to wrap this up?
And, like, I can't think about, when I think about the knife hitting, oh, my God, I, like, could puke, you know? Like, it was just, when I was alone, and I got, like, really freaked out, you know? Like,
you're losing a lot of blood.
Right. Like, what if I faint on all my new furniture? Like, and my blood is everywhere. Like,
that's not what's freaking out. You're...
No, of course. No, of course. It's like I'm alone and I fainted and I'm bleeding out. Of course. And that crossed my mind.
Like, who cares?
I felt like
the furniture.
Miranda Hobbs in that very early season of Sex and the City where she was like, you know, I'm a single woman living alone. I choked on my Chinese food and my cats are going to eat my body before they find me.
For sure. But I feel like for Miranda, that was a referendum on her life up until that point, just being a single woman and...
not wanting to, you know, be
the
alone.
The threats that could pose. Mm-hmm. But for you, like, maybe it's a referendum on Ben's choices. Maybe it is.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Because ask me, where was Ben at the time?
Where was Ben when his wife was laying on the floor bleeding out?
Recording good, guys. Like 4 hours, like two episodes back to back. Yeah.
Wow. Shameful.
Yeah.
You should be ashamed.
Meanwhile... turdy in the kitchen with the rotisserie bleeding out.
With the knife.
Yeah.
And did he apologize?
No.
Oh. I love how like you slice your finger open, you and you alone, and it's Ben's fault.
Okay, you know what? I'm also glad you brought that up. Because Ben hasn't
cut. He should have made you grilled chicken chopped into bits in the fridge already.
No, actually, I'm not an unreasonable person. Like, of course it wasn't his fault. He hasn't seen the cut. This morning, I need to, you know, change my bandages, stitch up. And it's the first time he's seen the open wound. And he's like, oh, he's like so dramatic. And, I go, and it is really bad. And he's like, oh. And okay, fine, be dramatic. And then he goes, what did you do?
Victim blaming.
I'm like, are you serious? Ben, you cut your fingers all the time because he's always in the kitchen. And it's not as deep, obviously. I'm like, do I ever see that and say, oh, my God, you're an animal. You're dumb. What's wrong? No.
Well, he didn't say that either.
He might as well have. He might as well have.
He was victim blaming and shaming, in the words of Oprah. Blame, shame, game.
Blame, shame, and the weight loss game.
That's like one of my favorite things. I actually keep thinking about the fact that she titled her special that.
Really?
Blame, shame, and tell it by my name.
Like, and call me by my name. Why? You know, what was it even called? It was... blame, shame, weight loss game? No, blame and shame, the weight loss revolution? There was a revolution in there.
Oprah special blame, shame.
See, look, I can't even open my...
shame, blame, and the weight loss revolution.
It should have been shame, blame, and the weight loss game. Like...
So I'm sorry, you can't say shame or blame. Without it being shame, blame, and the turdy's knife revolution.
No, like, shame, blame, and turdy's bleeding out on the floor.
Shame blaming Ben is blaming his wife.
Shame blaming. Down with the good guys.
That's the title.
Shame blaming down with the good. No, I'm not giving them like title placement.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Do you know there are brands that would pay? There are a million girls who would want that job, you know?
Yeah. Shame blaming the title revolution.
Title revolution. Oh, wait. Is Beyonce's album a story?
Of course. Okay, because I have thoughts. It is story worthy. There are a lot of newsworthy items on the album.
So that's what I did this morning while getting ready, you know, with four fingers. And, you know, I actually had a question that I wanted to ask you because I was thinking, like,
if I had to lose a finger?
Similar. I think we should rank the fingers because right hand index, it might be up there with one of your thumbs. It's major really, key. It's a top three finger.
It's number three. Obviously, thumbs are one and two. For right. me, my right thumb is one.
So honestly,
my left thumb is two.
I told you about this issue I've been having with my left thumb where I feel like I've lost connection control. From my brain. Yeah, I've lost control. I feel like
her left thumb has spun out of control.
My left thumb is like no longer in my control. I would put it, and I was more so asking like a universal ranking of the digits, not a personal one, but I just want to say for me, like the left thumb, it could be eight or nine.
I don't think so. Like your left thumb is what separates you from Romeo.
No, I wouldn't be able to be holding this beverage if I didn't have my left thumb, and it's in my left hand right now.
Yeah.
So it would go right thumb, left thumb, right index finger, left index finger.
Yeah. Then the middle finger is obviously an iconic one.
It's an important one.
The ring finger, important too.
Not really on the right hand, just want to say. If I had to lose any finger, I think I might give up the right ring.
Not a pinky. I mean, pinky's the obvious choice.
I don't know. My pinkies, and I have like a, you know, body image issues when it comes to my hands. I think my pinkies are so like dainty and long. They're kind of like the best of my fingers, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a lovely finger. Also, like, I like to get a wide grip on something. I actually have a really wide finger span. Yeah, something interesting about me. Not you other bitches couldn't. I can hit an octave on the piano easily. Look you at this span.
What? Oh, hitting a full octave. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A full octave on the piano. I might even get that ninth key in there.
Okay, I think we're pretty much saying...
The pinky is germane to that for me, and that's a big part of my identity.
And a big part of my identity is just, like, being comfortable picking my nose. And every now and then, like, a pinky finger up the nose, like, scratches a corner.
Gets the job done.
Scratches a corner of the nose that, like, other fingers could never.
So I've never been, like, a pick nose bitch. But as a mom, I've noticed that I'm always like picking
the
boys' noses because it's like you have to get their boogers. And it's just kind of like taken away the stigma for picking nose. And I find myself like picking my own nose now.
So, Jackie, you are joining the pick nose revolution. Blame, shame, and the pick nose game.
Yeah. And
I've been like, a proud nose picker for years.
I'm not like really even trying to like stop it. It's just, I've realized that's why I like all the shame and blame around nose picking.
Jackie.
I should do a special on it.
I'll host it. You don't understand. This is like the best news you've ever told me. Like, I am overjoyed beyond belief to hear this from you. It's
because it's like when I'm going like now picking a nose is kind of just like this necessity in my life. So whether it's me or them, it's like I don't really have enough time to register. Like, oh, this is the inappropriate one. Like, this is the embarrassing one.
Why is it inappropriate? Like, if I see someone, you know, on the subway across from me getting like the eye gunk out of the corner of their eye, I don't think ew. It's literally the same thing.
Well, yeah, because you end up with the same question of where do you put it?
Right, right. Well, I always these days, like a part of, I think, I genuinely think a part of getting older is no matter what time of year it is and you can be perfectly healthy, like your nose is going to run. I'm doing my makeup, my nose is running. I walk to work, even if it's nice out, my nose is always running. It's just like a new part of my life. And I always have a new or used tissue in my pocket.
Okay, say they say you're not so perfect that day and you don't have a tissue. Like, let's get real. She is evading the question.
Oh, are you asking me what I'm doing? Okay, that's a good question. Yeah. I'm doing a little bit of this. I'm rolling it up first, making it compact, making it, you know, safe for check bag. It's a check bag. It's not a carry-on. Okay, so we're rolling it up, decreasing its size, and yeah.
A little flick. So when I think about that case, you need your middle finger and your thumb.
Actually, okay, let me think. Because I feel like nose picking, rolling, and flicking is a five-digit activity.
It's a five-digit affair, yeah.
It's a five-digit affair. Oh, the camera's coming out for a five-digit affair. All right. That song is so good. Jessica Simpson, Public Affair.
Yeah.
All of her songs. I'm loving angels instead. You know, I can't. Let's not get into Jessica Simpson. You know, I'm not going to repeat.
We only have so much time.
Yeah, because this... Today's episode is fabulous. It's Friday, which means, you know, and I'm already feeling like I'm in better spirits. We have our Queenie and Weenie of the Week, which is our weekly segment where Jackie and I bestow the honor to two different people, places, or things for their Queenie behavior or their Weenie behavior. I'm very excited. This is the first week, I think, maybe since the inception where my Queenie came to me almost immediately, and I really couldn't think of a Weenie.
Interesting. I'll let you know after the ad break how mine turned out.
Okay. And then for the first time ever, this is our inaugural segment, our inaugural episode of our new monthly segment, Employee of the Month, where Jackie and I just sort of hype each other up for kind of being a fabulous employee this month. What did you do, Jackie? What did I do to bring this company forward?
Yeah. So every month there will be two employees of the month, and they will be me and Claudia. And we're just nominating each other as to like why we deserve that honor.
Yeah. I mean, I am down to like make it competitive. You know me, like I'm a nut.
So like you nominate you and I nominate me and then people vote?
No. Oh no. We can't get the people involved. That's hurtful. That's toxic. Yeah. You nominate me and I nominate you. And then we both like, we're honest with each other. Whoever makes a more compelling case.
For sure. But if you want to win, you would make a crappy case. That's why it's not. Really?
It's giving, you know what it's giving? Four weddings, an imperfect system. Like in that show, and I'm always referencing that show, it was imperfect. Like the girl with the worst wedding, like always won because these bitches were out here and they had a system like to try and evade anyone sabotaging. Like they would get rid of the lowest score, but it was still like, even it was still not a perfect system. You're right. No. Well,
you have to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
But that's weird.
Yeah.
It's more fun when we hype. No, Claudia, we're going to be weenies about this and we're going to say everyone's a winner.
That's so are we the weenies of the week because we're being
weenie-like?
Weenie-like. This is so unlike us. We hate when people, you know, give answers like you're all winners here. Well, you're not.
Inherent contradiction within the show. I'll have to think on it. Let's get into the stories because we absolutely must. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Oh, and today's episode is brought to you by Vanderpump Villa, the fun new reality series from our queen, Lisa Vanderpump. She has a new home on Hulu, and the show is an escape to the French countryside. The series offers first-class luxury and world-class drama. So Lisa's staff are working, living, and playing together 24-7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. And what I really like about this is giving, you know, the upstairs, downstairs. It's kind of giving like a modern Downton Abbey, if you will. So Vanderpump Villa provides super entertaining and unfiltered portraits of life, both saturated in and starkly without privilege. So throughout the series, the new groups of guests will be arriving to the villa for a unique and lavish vacation. The staff will have to be ready to cater to them on every whim. It offers a behind-the-scenes look at how the staff are pushed to their limits to execute these one-of-a-kind celebrations like bachelorette parties, divorce parties, birthdays, while of course having to maintain composure and professionalism, as this is an opportunity of a lifetime for each of them. So it's really, it's giving class, it's giving elegance, it's giving that Lisa Vanderpump je ne sais quoi, if you will. It's happening in France. It's this gorgeous villa. So these young, hot things doing their things, you know, while working for like these incredibly difficult people. The show sounds amazing. You can watch Vanderpump Villa. It premieres April 1st, only on Hulu. So that's coming up. This is not an April Fool's joke. This is very much real. The new show from Lisa Vanderpump, it is called Vanderpump Villa, and it is available to stream on Hulu starting and premiering April 1st. Don't miss it. I feel like that's a good one. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. So is your closet cluttered with home videos and photos that rarely see the light of day? These irreplaceable heirlooms are not only crowding your shelves this spring cleaning season, but they are also rapidly fading away. The longer you let VHS camcorder tape sit out, the elements, whether it's, you know, humidity or a flood in your basement, you're really kind of taking a risk not digitizing them. But that can seem like a daunting task. Thanks to Legacy Box, not anymore. It is the simple and affordable, they've thought of everything solution for digitally preserving your past. Legacy Box is easy. You load the box up with your old tapes, films, pictures, send it to them, and you'll get it back on a thumb drive or on the cloud. It's ready to watch. It's easy to share. It's so simple. It's like magic. We actually recently did this because we found this old sort of janky DVD, which isn't even that old, but it wasn't who has a DVD player. We sent it to Legacy Box. They digitized it for us, and it turned out to be Jackie and Olivia's bat mitzvah montage. It was so cute. We watched it together on vacation. It was so sweet. Your family will love it. It's a great gift, but it's also just something like you should do. It's one of those things on the list of like things you mean to do for like the last 10 years, and you got to do it. It's so easy. You can also use our discount code. Get it. You don't have to fill it up, but just take advantage of the code so that when you're ready, when spring cleaning time is upon you, you can load it up and send it back. So protect your memories off your spring cleaning to-do list with Legacy Box. Visit legacybox.com/toast to shop their $9 tape sale. That's legacybox.com/toast to unlock this incredible offer. That's legacybox.com/toast to unlock this incredible offer of $9 per tape.
Thank you, Law.
An absolute honor and a pleasure.
Our first story, Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter album is here. Here's every artist featured on the new album. Artist. So Cowboy Carter dropped this morning. The new project, also known as Act 2 from her Renaissance release, has made its way to the U.S. as of midnight on Friday. She told her supporters, this is not a country album, this is a Beyoncé album. But the 27-track body of work features some big-time country-heavy hitters. It's a long album.
Okay, so I thought I listened to half, but I must have listened to like a quarter this morning while I got ready.
So featured artists include Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson can be heard on Smoke Hour, Willie Nelson, and Smoke Hour 2. Then she also collabed with Miley Cyrus and Post Malone for Two Most Wanted and Levi's Jeans. Then Linda Martell is also on the album. And then other black country artists that appear include Rhiannon Giddens, Tanner Adel, and Willie Jones, and also Shaboozy.
So we were wrong about pretty much every single one.
Yep. I don't think we didn't get one thing right. Not until she literally said Dolly Parton is on the album. And I think we said, oh, I think Dolly Parton's on the album.
And let's start there because Dolly doesn't sing. Beyoncé covers Jolene, and then Dolly has like a cute little monologue in the beginning. It's like super short. And I have to say, I like died when I listened to the Jolene cover because it's not a cover. It's basically, she changed every lyric, but it's the same song, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the message of Jolene is basically, you know, Dolly's man is seeing Jolene on the side. And the song is like, Jolene, please. Like, I know you're hot and sexy and you can have whoever you want. Please don't take my man. It's coming from a place of desperation. Beyoncé's song is very clearly remarking on Jay-Z's affair because Dolly's little monologue in the beginning says, I know you had an issue, the girl with the nice hair. So it's very like personal. And Beyoncé is not in the slightest acting desperate. It is honestly one of the meanest songs. Like, it's so funny. It's so cutting. It's a slay. It's the total opposite of Jolene. There's no pleading. There's no begging. It's like, girl, you're desperate, thirsty, and ugly. Like, Beyoncé rips her to shreds and is like, I know you want my man. Get the fuck away. It's very different than Jolene. I loved it. I also listened to the Miley one. I love that Miley's on this album, like for real. And I think everyone's having...
That is such an interesting choice to me. And I want to talk about it. I want to understand more. I couldn't have dreamed up something better if I tried. But Miley's kind of the only contemporary female artist on the album who's like major already. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, why Miley? Maybe, no. Do you think she saw her at the Grammys like we all did and was like, this girl is so talented?
I imagine, like, these things take more time than that.
Or because of Dolly.
No, not even. I don't know. I feel like Beyoncé just, like, Beyoncé's a woman of taste, like, for real. She's a tastemaker. She sees things in people, you know? And I don't know what the connection is. I do know they're also on the same record label and maybe it's like a business thing.
What's the record label?
I think it's Columbia.
Okay. But still, so, like, I don't think Beyoncé's
no, tied me neither. She doesn't play like that game.
Contracts, no.
I don't know because it is so random, especially when, like, the two big collabs, there are a lot of features, but the collabs everyone's talking about are Post Malone and Miley, who are both not country artists. They have country connections. Post Malone is gearing up to release his own country album. Miley, of course, is from country royalty, but they're not country artists.
No.
Which is interesting.
Up until this point, neither of them have put out a country album.
And I feel like it really makes sense when Beyoncé released her explanation for her reasons for doing this album. She's like kind of mad at the country world. So she wasn't going to give any like current country artists their flowers. Like she was going to do it on her own, in her own way.
Now, yeah, but then of course, she does have Dolly and Willie.
But they're not like a part of, I think, the problem Beyoncé was talking about.
Got it. So I thought that was interesting. And then it made me, of course, wonder, the queen of country contemporary music.
Who is it?
Is Taylor.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, I wish. Like, she's from country.
These days, she's obviously a pop artist, but, like, she's the most successful female country artist of all time.
Like, yes, technically, yes.
It's not even a technicality. That's just fact.
She hasn't released country music since Red. Even though Red,
yeah, no, the rest,
Red was still, I think, in the country genre. But even when she was releasing country music, it wasn't country. But
it sounded like pop, but, like, she's the biggest female country out of them. Donda is not tailored.
Oh, so there is a theory. So
I love a theory. There's a theory for that.
Beyonce said, like, I have a lot of surprises up my sleeve. So, of course, the album came out. The track list didn't even tell us everything that we thought we were going to get. And there is a song called Bodyguard that has, like, background vocals that sound so much like Taylor. Like, for real. And the writing credits for the album have not been released yet. So a lot of people say the Bodyguard sounds like a song Taylor would write or, like, co-write. Her voice Taylor loves to have people on her songs and you can't hear them. It sounds like Beyonce's pulling a Taylor. Like, she's literally in the background. She goes, ooh, like, three times. But it really sounds like Taylor. So that's the current working theory.
Oh, I like that theory. And I would like that if Taylor wrote a song for this album. I think that would be perfect. Because, like, Beyonce and Taylor putting out a song together, it's, like, it's too much. Like, the world can't handle it. But something more subtle like that would be lovely.
Yeah, so that's then, just the running theory.
There's no Taylor on the album, which is what I thought after the album dropped and there was no Taylor. Don't you think that's interesting?
No, because I think it's been made, like, abundantly clear that these two, like, they're their own planets, you know?
And, they are their own planets.
And they coexist. Like, there's peace there. I think they really, really, I think for so long everybody, like, knew that, like, Taylor loved and respected Beyonce. But we were like, does Beyonce love and respect Taylor? Because Beyonce's, like, so... Beyonce's taken so seriously, and up until recently, Taylor was not. And it's been made abundantly clear over the last, like, year or two that, like, everyone loves everyone and it's all good. But there's never been, like, a formal collab. And I don't know what the first step in that would be. Would it be a Beyonce song feature on Taylor's album? Would it be a Taylor feature on Beyonce's album? How do we do it? I don't know.
I feel like this would have been it. Beyonce is doing country.
Yeah.
Taylor is country.
Like, it kind of reminds me, like, so randomly of, like, how we don't have a Morgan Wallen Luke Combs collab yet. They're these two enormous universes. They have covered each other's songs. They clearly have respect for one another. But Luke Combs has said on a podcast, like, it's not, you know, negative, but it's, of course, competitive. That's the nature of, they do the same thing. They're at the same level. And it's not in a bad way, but, you know, they keep each other on their toes. And I thought it was actually a really honest answer, because most people would be like, no, we support each other. He's like, no, like, it's competitive, but it's good. And they haven't worked together ever in, like, a formal song release capacity. And when they do, how will it be done? Because it's almost the fact that it's never been done.
To me, that feels different. Like, I don't expect every big artist to work with the other big artist, especially in the same genre. I'm just saying, in this instance, like, Beyonce has a country album. She's collaborating with country artists. She has a friend, we know they're friends, who is the biggest country artist in the world. This would be the time for the collab. If this album comes and goes and there's no collab, I won't say on the next album or Taylor's next album.
I understand.
This is the moment, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so I don't, like, 100% agree with that, because, like, I feel like, yes, Taylor is on a technical level, like, the most successful country. But I don't think of her, like, country at all anymore, which is devastating, because those is my favorite genre and my favorite girl. I do think that if there isn't a collab on this album that has anything to do with Taylor, I won't think of it as, like, a slight. I will just think of it as a missed opportunity.
Agreed, but not one that they didn't consider.
By the way, this conversation was had between both camps.
That's all I'm saying.
And maybe Taylor seriously, like, didn't. Maybe Taylor was like, maybe Taylor said no. Maybe it was like, listen, currently I'm on this tour. I don't have the capacity to give my whole, you know, pussy to this collab.
Well, maybe I don't want to be country right now. Oh. But seriously, if Beyonce comes to someone with a collab, no one is turning that down.
No, absolutely. No, nobody.
So she didn't come.
Or the theory is right.
I like that theory. That buttons it all up really nicely for me.
Yeah. So I have a lot of work to do on the album, but I needed to reference the song Daughter. And what I love about this album is like, it's really camp in the sense it's not like, I feel like a lot of the contemporary country artists, especially the women, like their music sounds almost like pop music. It's not very like stereotypical. She went full camp. It's like, howdy do. Like, it's really, I love it. And even like the album cover, horse, American flag, yeah. Beyonce.
And it's not subtle.
It's not subtle. So she's like pulling references from, you know, Landslide, which is like kind of not corny, but like overtly country. It's classic country.
Classic.
And it's low key classic country. And she's sampling a lot of things. And in the song Daughter, she samples a song. Now, I don't know what this song is. My reference, how I know it, is it's from Raise Your Voice. I think it's an opera song. Wait, she's.
Did I listen to it yet?
Come on, your pay. Senza de te.
That's literally from Raise Your Voice.
The cringe Hillary.
I only got to Jolene.
When Hillary Duff's like cringe character has a cringe moment in the cringe class with Aiden from Sex and the City, and she like slays it down, and she sings that like, it must be like, it's like an Ave Maria type. It's like a famous old like opera song. It's in Daughter. And Jackie, when I tell you I died. It was so funny. I don't know where that song is from, but to me and like my generation, it will always be from Raise Your Voice.
Oh, I didn't. That was my next song to listen to. But also, this was the first album that I didn't initially listen in order, which I hate to do.
Did you
do
by accident? Needed,
no, I needed to hear Miley first.
Oh.
And then I listened to Post Malone, and then I took it from the top, but then I skipped to Jolene. Oh, and I also listened to, after Post Malone, I listened to Sweet Honey Buckin', that's with Shaboozy, because a few weeks ago, people were speculating who would be on this album, like which black country artist that she would work with, and I saw a video of this guy, Shaboozy, who's so sickeningly talented.
Oh, wow.
And it introduced me to his music, and then when he confirmed was on the album, I had to listen to that one too before I started at the top.
And I feel like what you just said is like the whole reason why Beyonce made the country album.
Love it.
No, it's, I have a lot of work to do. And I don't like, I hate when people are like, what are your rankings? It's 27 songs. I woke up a couple hours ago, like, leave me alone. I need time. I don't know what's good yet. I don't know what's bad. I don't know if I like the album. Like, I need a minute.
Also,
give me a second.
Sonically, it's kind of a new sound because she's really like blending
genres.
Her own voice with country, old and new, and also there's like some hip hop influences in there. So like, it's gonna take time to like wrap your head around. It's not just, it's not surface level, and it's certainly not surface lyrics.
It's not surface lyrics. Give us a minute.
So is Ben struggling with that, or is he excited?
I actually haven't spoken to him about it because I literally wasn't talking to him after he yelled at me about my finger.
After he victim blamed, shamed, and gamed, yeah.
And in the knife cutting game.
So that's exciting. And that does make the Friday feel more like a Friday because it's New Music Friday.
Totally.
Period. I don't have anything to add on to that.
All right. So maybe you can go to the next story.
Yeah. No, I was going to say something, but no.
Well, now.
The sentence was over.
Okay. I respect that. Sometimes it's okay to like start a sentence and then just like delete, you know?
Backspace. Yeah, or no, like not everyone has to get the last word, you know?
Oh, is that what you were trying to do?
No, I wasn't trying, but I was just gonna like say another thing.
Oh my God. And you know what? I love that like you, and I think this goes for everyone. I'm not talking about us because we don't
know.
Really,
I wasn't
even do
talking
this.
About us.
The culture, like maybe just end the sentence, you know?
Doesn't
that's
need to be
okay.
A constant back and forth.
Like, let's hold space for the end.
Let's hold space for the end.
I think it'd be nice.
Are you ready for our next story now? Holding space for the second story. Billie Eilish is dragging big artists like Taylor Swift for releasing multiple versions of albums in, quote, wasteful packaging. So while discussing her push for sustainability within her career with Billboard, she criticized unnamed big artists for using uneconomical and seemingly unethical methods to sell and package their physical albums and vinyls.
While so it was unnamed, she might as well have said that blonde girl whose name rhymes with Faye. Like, she literally described, it's clear, like, I don't think we could speculate this to be about anyone else.
No. So this is what she said, so you can hear it for yourself. We live in this day and age where, for some reason, it's very important to some artists to make all sorts of different vinyl and packaging, which ups the sales and ups the numbers and gets them more money and gets them more. I can't even express to you how wasteful it is. It is right in front of our faces and people are just getting away with it left and right. And I find it really frustrating as somebody who really goes out of my way to be sustainable and do the best that I can. and do the best that I can and try to involve everybody in my team in being sustainable. And then it's some of the biggest artists in the world making fucking 40 different vinyl packages that have a different unique thing just to get you to keep buying more. Literally tailored with her bonus songs.
Now, I want to say Taylor does do this a lot with her CDs and stuff, but Billie's specifically talking about vinyls because I guess vinyls are like especially difficult to make and it's whatever.
Special unsustainable plastic.
It's like, and a whole part of this conversation that Billie's not talking about is how Taylor has completely resurrected a dead industry in terms of like jobs, sales, small record stores. Like, so yes, you can't be the best at everything. You can't be the most sustainable and be resurrecting industries and being a titan of industry. Like, it's giving jealous.
Do you think that maybe because the vinyl industry is so unsustainable that it deserved to go
to die? No,
and Billie the people Eilish, who were working in the vinyl industry didn't deserve to work because of their contribution to non-sustainable things.
Billie Eilish is really slowly turning into one of my least favorite people. Like, it only took two things. Artist for Ceasefire Pin and coming for Taylor Swift. Like, you're literally dead to me.
No, this story is so funny. This girl is so dreadful. And she's always been dreadful. But, like, I never want to say anything because she seriously, like, just seems unwell.
Yeah.
But she's now sticking her nose in some things where it doesn't belong. Dreadful, miserable girl.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's everything is so negative and sad all the time.
Imagine, like,
as I think, like, the perfect word for, like, what we're saying is, like, it's
dreadful.
The Yiddish phrase is a dray cup. It's like your face is like
a long, sad face. Or miserable.
Wait, hold on.
That's a miserable girl.
Hold on. What's the other Yiddish phrase that, like, I've been actually using a lot lately?
When you try and Google Yiddish words, they don't understand.
Fabissin apunam. Fabissin apunam. It's like, smile. Mm. Yeah. No, it's literally...
Cody, that's misogynist and not sustainable. I don't care.
It's Sparky Pilastri. Smile. Don't smile. I just, like, I can't. And honestly, I want to say...
Billie
I'm not,
Eilish is a Fabissina Punam.
She's a Fabissina Punam. And there isn't... I'm not the type of person where, like, you can't criticize Taylor. Like, I actually do feel every... Like, there are some few... If you have something to say, like, valid criticisms of Taylor in regards to whatever, sustainability or whatever it is. But, like, this really isn't it. And I feel like Taylor's been praised so much by people in the industry. Like, mom and pop, 100-year-old record stores... And she goes out of her way to, like, really give extra stock of hard-to-find vinyls to small, independently-owned records. Like, she really goes out of her way to, like, try and do the right thing. And so for another artist to come out, it's you know what it's giving? It's giving jealous.
Yeah, but the mom and pops were not sustainable, Claudia. Down with mom and pops.
Like, I support the mom and pops. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so does Taylor. Like, so to make a whole big stink, she thinks she's being subtle. Like, we know who you're talking about, Billie.
No, I hope Taylor writes a whole album about her.
The thing is, lion don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep.
It's true, but Taylor, like, she does.
She cares what people think about her. Also, Billie Eilish, like, we can clown on her. Like, she's a major, major, like, force in the music industry.
No, I wasn't
going to
say that she's sheep. No, I think Taylor is, like, listening with both ears. She's like, okay, you said that?
Yeah, like, when Taylor, we knew Taylor, like, gave a fuck about what people said about her. When she, like, came out with full force, one joke made about her in Ginny and Georgia before Ginny and Georgia was even popular. Ginny and Georgia's enormous show now, but it was the first season. And it was like literally nobody was watching the show. And honestly, I heard about it for the first time from Taylor Swift. And it was like such a lame joke. And like she was right. But like really we're going like, I feel like you're bigger than that.
No, she listens to the things that people say about her and she cares. And she would admit that like that's not no secret.
And I want to say like hashtag relatable. Like, thank you.
No. Also, I just want to say for Billie, when her Happier Than Ever vinyl came out in 2021, the black versions were made of 100% recycled black vinyl and wrapped in shrink wrap made from sugar cane. And her colored options were also created with recycled materials.
Sounds smelly. No, that's great. That's really, really great for Billie. Different people care about different things.
She also helped fund Reverb's music decarbonization project, which aims to eliminate carbon emissions created by the music industry.
Okay, and that's like that's so great. That's clearly something super. Billie cares about.
That's
super, super great. But like, I don't know. I just hate people like who do something good and then use it as like a platform to be condescending
to
and patronizing.
Shame, blame, and game.
To shame, blame the music game.
Yeah, especially when, like, there's such bigger fish to fry.
Right. And I just like, I have two words, phobis and aponym.
I have two words, shame and blame. Okay, our next three
what
stories.
What number? Actually, no, we have
three.
So much time.
No, no, no. Oh, okay. Because our next three stories, if I had to describe them, like they are so Friday.
Ooh, by the way, in let a me good guess. Way. I know them. GRB.
Yep.
The conjoined twins who married the same man, because that's a story I requested. Mm-hmm. And what was the third? It's definitely some food news. What is Subway?
No, it's like, not. It's not food news.
Okay, you'll surprise me. Let's start.
First of the three is that Gypsy Rose Blanchard has separated from her husband 3 months after her prison release. So GRB and her husband, RSA, have broken up after 1 year of marriage. She announced the news on her private Facebook account on Thursday, according to People, saying, "People have been asking what is going on in my life. Unfortunately, my husband and I are going through a separation, and I moved in with my parents' home down the bayou."
Jackie, parents?
Yeah. Who? Did I read that right? "And I moved in with my parents' home."
So mom, we know, deceased at the hands of GRB. Father, in the act, I don't remember there being a father. Well, obviously she's talking about like her birth dad and his like, you know, her stepmom or something.
Really?
I mean, who else? It's not her mom.
But maybe her parents' home, like maybe it was the home she grew up in.
Oh, she's referencing the home, not the parents.
The physical structure.
The structure. Okay, so let's
talk about... And also to say, like, I moved in with my parents' home down the bayou.
Right. Is it I moved in with my parents or I moved into my parents' home? She has a typo and it's honestly making it really, really hard.
Changing the meaning of the sentence.
Yeah, no, honestly, she couldn't have had a worse typo in terms of clarity. Like...
Maybe she's just trying to keep people on their feet. That's classic GRB.
That's classic GRB. Now, of course, I have to make everything about myself. I did spend some time with the couple. And I didn't want to say it at the time because I was grateful.
I just want to say, can we get a clarification on how much time?
30 minutes.
Okay.
Not like a weekend, yeah.
No, I thought it was going to be 3 minutes, so that's
better. No. I observed them, but I also spoke to them. Him a lot, too. And I didn't want to say it at the time because I was grateful to Lifetime for the opportunity. And, you know, I was having so much fun. But, like...
You didn't like what you saw?
There were immensely weird vibes. And let me tell you precisely, like, I think he was really, really excited about, like, the lights, camera, action, the flashiness of it all. And I think she was more excited to, like, tell her story and, like, be out of prison. And he was, like, really, as, like, a former teacher, you know, he wasn't in prison. His life just went from drab to fab, you know? That's the Lifetime documentary. Drab, fab, and the GRB gab, you know? And so he, like, kept making this joke. He made a joke to me. I was talking to him, and I was like, oh, my God, congrats, like, on your wedding.
Congrats, grads.
Yeah, and he was like, ugh. You're so great. Like, I keep saying we're not newlyweds. We're newly together weds because, like, we've been married for a while, but we're finally together in person. And I was like, oh, haha, cute joke. Jackie, I heard him make the joke to, like, other people and the press, like, no less than 10 times that night. He's like, and then I saw on TikTok, literally a video.
Sweetie, you made a little joke.
And I don't know. It was just giving preparedness, you know? It was giving thirstiness. I didn't like what I saw.
I'm not going to, like, disagree with your analysis because you saw what you saw and that's your truth. I just want to say, like, that story viewed through another lens is, like, really innocent and sweet.
Let me add some color then.
Okay.
So GRB and her man come out, of course, a press line. Like, they're going crazy for GRB. And he's, like, standing right at the edge of the carpet, like, waiting with bated breath for, like, the couple photos. Like, obviously, she gets her solo shots. And then they do a couple photos, and then he gets his solo shots. And I just felt like an eagerness that just put a bad taste in my mouth.
You saw eager beaver. Thirsty. Vibe.
And then we know, like, he was getting reached out to a lot by other women. And I just feel like if there's any sort of nefarious behavior from this split, it was coming from him.
Well, I just think in general, when you go through such a big change, like meeting and getting married in prison, and then the freedom that comes with it, like, that's a lot of change for a young couple. And maybe... people aren't who you think they are, whether they be just too eager beaver or also, like, impossible to live with.
Or, like, GRB, you know, you have limited options for spouses when
everything
you're in prison.
Everything is coming up GRB. Maybe and now she's on to the next.
Darling, she's,
but she,
you know,
did say in her
maybe
statement.
She sees, you know, more handsome men sliding into her DMs. She never had access to that.
She said in her statement, "I'm listening to my heart. Right now I need time to let myself find ... who I am." So,
that's another,
I mean,
thing, yeah.
You could come out of prison and be a different girl, not the one who married.
No, and also, RSA. Like, you think about her life before prison, she was attached to another man. It's like she's kind of, I think, hinged her identity a lot on her partner, and maybe she's realizing she's coming into her own saying, I need to be me.
Yeah, it's time for GRB.
If I can't love myself, how in the hell am I going to love anybody else?
I think there's a lot of change, and there's been a lot of change, and it's totally natural for things to start to shake up.
Yeah.
At the three-month itch.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, this is not a couple I'm rooting for, you know? So whatever Gypsy decides, like, I think is best. I'm not going to be like, I hope these two work it out. This isn't like, you know, a Kim and Croy Bierman situation.
Who would you like to see GRB with?
It's an amazing question. Let me think. Hold on. Who's like a freak? Like, oh my God. I have like such a funny answer joke, but like it's like too mean, you know? Should I say it to you and then we cut it out? Or should, you know what?
Text
I'll
it.
Text it
Our
to you.
Favorite.
Like, I just, some of my jokes recently have been like so mean. This is who I think GRB should marry next. They're perfect for each other.
You can say that.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine.
That's really funny. Ship.
Ship.
Except no, she seems like a nice girl. I wouldn't do that to her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So GRB, wishing you well. Being single can be fabulous, but don't cut your finger.
Yeah.
Maybe get a roommate.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
Oh, I was born ready for this next story.
Conjoined twin Abby Hensel is now married. So conjoined twins.
Oh, wait, only one?
Only one is married.
Oh, I thought he married like spiritually. I know he physically married both of them, but I thought spiritually he married both as well.
No, spiritually he married one. Conjoined twins Abby and Brittany Hensel first gained national attention when they appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And then they later starred in their own show, Abby and Brittany.
Oprah is kind of like the thread of today's episode.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the last decade since they were on TV, but Abby is now married. According to public records, Abby, a teacher, and Josh Bowling, a nurse and United States Army veteran, tied the knot in 2021. The sisters also shared photos of the wedding on social media. The couple lives in Minnesota, where the Hensels were born and raised. The sisters are both teaching fifth grade in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, I don't know how one could teach and the other couldn't. I have so many questions. Because if these two are fucking... That's literally incest. That's like me and you having sex.
No. They only have one part. They only have one. Everything below the
waist. Like,
all
that's
organs like, below the waist are shared. No, it's like polygamy is what it is.
Wait, all organs below the waist are shared?
Yes.
So they have one vagina?
Yeah.
So he's having sex with both of them?
Yes.
And they're also having sex together?
Well, no, because there's only one. Takes two to tango.
What does the other girl do with her head?
I don't know, but I would have thought, I mean, I'm glad that they're finding love, like, and what works for them, and who are we to tell them
it's
what
so
to
true.
Do? And they obviously, like, have clear lines.
They've thought of these things.
Yeah, and, like, they have a way of which works for them. I just would have thought that they would have found someone, honestly, maybe a polygamist, who, and they could all be together married.
Yeah, of course, but you can't marry your sister. That's the thing. Sister wives are never related.
But they're not married to each other.
Yeah. Oh, I guess. No, but you become like family. Like,
of course, but they're already family.
No, I don't know. It's like a little confusing for me. However,
imagine how they feel.
Have there been the separation of conjoined twins successful surgeries? Yes, correct.
Yes, but in this situation,
because they have shared organs?
They were told that it was, the parents decided that it was too risky at the doctor. At the time, the doctor said that there was a little chance that both would survive the operation. And they had said, like, how do you pick between the two?
No, of course not.
So, yeah.
Oh, my.
But I honestly have, like, living their best life in the show. They had traveled.
GRB.
Yeah.
I'm living my best life.
They traveled to Europe. They rode a moped. Like, they're making it work for them. And now one of them has found love.
Now, what happens when the other finds love?
And then it's her turn. They obviously have an understanding with the husband. Like, everyone has to be on the same page. I'm sure they've had these conversations, but there's no roadmap for this.
There's no, they're literally creating precedent.
They're making the rules.
Right. And they're kind of trailblazing for others.
Yeah. I think it's an inspiring, beautiful story. And they want to be moms.
Oh, can they?
Yeah. They their mom had said that that's probably something that could work because those organs do work for them. And Brittany had said, yeah, we're going to be moms. We haven't thought about how being moms is going to work yet, but we're just 16. This was when they were 16. We're just 16. We don't need to think about that right now. But now they are in their 30s and now would be the time.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? The mysterious fifth and final.
The mystery is brought to you by Macy's. Woo! Looking to mix up your vibe for spring? That's right. It's 50 degrees outside, even though I'm wearing gray and cashmere. I'm like sweating. Spring is sprung. So we want to get our outfits together. We want to be pastel, giving very much Easter vibes, which is this weekend. Macy's has the preppy and polished looks that you need to wear anywhere, like cute brunch outfits with your best friend. They've got tailored tweeds mixed with bright hues that perfectly balance playful with proper. So they have all of your favorite brands like Lacoste, Tommy Hilfiger, and more. They're iconic brands that put their own fresh spin on the preppy spring floral look. So check out your new favorite styles at macys.com/ownyourstyle. With Easter being early this year, literally in 2 days, get everything you could possibly need to host or to wear for you and your family at Macy's. That's what's great about Macy's. You walk in, you've got the fragrance, you've got the beauty, you've got the home, you've got the clothes, you've got the furniture. You can get everything you need for you, your brother, your sister, your mother, your grandma, your kids, from top to bottom, Easter, but also year round. So check out everything that you could possibly need at macys.com. Also, just wanted to flag that they're having a big Michael Kors sale. It's happening right now. You can get 25% off women and men's looks, as well as handbags, shoes, and accessories just in time for spring. So head over to Macy's.com to check it out. Those great deals. Some exclusions do apply. See site for details at Macy's.com. Again, just head over to Macy's.com. Whatever you're looking for, they've got you covered this spring. Spring has sprung, my friends. Spring forward at Macy's.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
Pleasure.
Our fifth and final story, kind of the biggest news of the day. Punxsutawney Phil shocks caretakers by welcoming two surprise baby groundhogs with his wife, Phyllis. So famous groundhog Punxsutawney Phil is a parent. He is planning for at least 6 more weeks of intense parenting.
That's funny. I don't like the way they phrase that headline. It's giving very much like misogyny. His wife is over here doing everything. It said Punxsutawney Phil welcomes two new children.
Because it's like Phil is the star. How's Phil? What did Phil
do? Does a male carry with groundhogs? Like, that's what it sounds like.
No, but it's because he's the most famous groundhog and his wife is just behind every great groundhog. There's a woman like bearing his children.
Behind every powerful groundhog is a more powerful female groundhog.
It's true. Like,
it's true.
So I completely agree. Like, misogynist to its core.
No, it's just misogyny right and left.
Like, PETA should honestly put out a statement about that. Put out a statement about the statement.
Like, no, PETA doesn't care about women. That's the thing. PETA cares about, like, I don't even know what the fuck they care about, but it's not women.
Yeah. Cause the news here is like, Phil is a father. Okay. Like, Phyllis just endured childbirth.
Is her name Phyllis?
Yeah.
I don't know what agency was in charge of like the Punxsutawney Phil branding, but they slayed the house down.
Boots, except an inherent flaw is that you think that Phil is in Philadelphia.
And he's not. Where is he?
No, I think he's in Punxsutawney.
What's that?
A township. But then like, no, and he should be from Punxsutawney because it's like the biggest thing going on in that town. But it should have been like Punxsutawney Tim.
Now, this is a totally random tangent, but we were talking about brands and rebrands. And I don't know if you know, but like a major, major brand has rebranded. And we didn't even talk about it on the toast. Manischewitz.
Two.
They're still Manischewitz.
Womanischewitz?
Womanischewitz. Their entire branding has been like renewed. Because, you know, they're kind of like an old school shtetl vibe.
Yeah, Fibisinopunum.
They slayed. I watched this whole TikTok like about the rebrand. It's literally like the sickest thing. It's now just giving, you know, sort of like Lower East Side, old Jewish shtetl. It's kind of in now.
Like
you know?
What's that deli called? Like Katz's font?
Yes, but it's very modern. And they kind of, like, it's kind of one of the most, people are praising it as like one of the most fabulous rebrands. They killed it without losing like the brand's core style and vibe.
Yeah, what's the name of that font? I feel like it's like Mazel.
It's literally like shtetl.
Yeah.
Where it's like the Second Avenue Deli logo too. It's Jewish brands, Yiddish. Yeah,
cute.
It looks like biblical writing, like in the Bible.
Very cute. Send me the TikTok.
I will. I found it extremely interesting. But back to Punxsutawney. Punxsutawney
Phil, they put out a statement on Punxsutawney's Facebook page saying, "We have babies. The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club is very excited to announce that Phil and Phyllis have given birth to two healthy baby groundhogs."
So they will carry on the legacy of Groundhog's Day. Is that correct?
Oh, they didn't say that because I think it takes a certain kind of groundhog to be trained up. But hopefully...
Who's the Prince William, you know?
I don't think it's hereditary. I think it's a meritocracy.
Oh, for real?
That's my guess, because you need the best groundhog for the job. Why? What if one of them is like badly behaved and he can't even stand to see a shadow?
Well, he was born for this role. Like, they train him from childhood, you know?
Says who?
Like, that's what I would think.
Maybe there's like an elite groundhog school. Anyone can go.
Because, by the way, if they don't do it like hereditarily, why the fuck are they breeding groundhogs between these two?
Well, here's the thing. It was unexpected. They had no idea she was pregnant. It was kind of like, I didn't know I was pregnant.
It's giving that show, like, I gave birth in the ER.
In the toilet.
Know, I took a shit and the baby came out.
Yeah. They said when we went in to feed them their fresh fruits and vegetables, we found Phyllis with two little baby groundhogs. It was very unexpected and we had no idea that she was pregnant. I just want to say, like, it's giving negligent. Sorry, you should know what's going on with the groundhogs that you keep in cages.
Phil couldn't keep his hands off Phyllis late in the night.
You know what I find interesting?
Yeah.
That, like, different mammals have different pregnancy terms.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Like,
that
we carry for 9 months, but, like, dogs carry for a couple weeks, right?
3 months. I just learned that because I was, like, talking extensively with different breeders for Tromeo, and they were like, oh, well, we just got pregnant. I was like, all right, well, I'll talk to you in 9 months. And she was like, no, it's actually perfect timing for you. It's 3 months. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense, but...
we're huge.
I just assume for everyone it's 9 months.
Yeah, I would assume the same. I did assume the
same. So I wonder how long is pregnancy for groundhogs? Because that was, a couple weeks of being negligent?
Right, like, was she pregnant on Groundhog Day? Maybe they celebrated...
Maybe she got pregnant on Groundhog Day.
Like how some people get pregnant on, you know, Valentine's Day.
The thing is, they might not even know how long. Oh, 32 days. Claudia?
A dream.
No.
In my next life.
Valentine's Day, for sure.
In my next life, bring me back as a groundhog.
But the thing is, if you weren't like the groundhog, you'll live a life full of jealousy and bitterness.
Allow me to rephrase that. In my next life, bring me back as the most important groundhog.
But would you want to be Phil or Phyllis?
Phil.
I'm kind of like Phyllis. All the perks. Like,
none of the work.
Except for
none of the pressure.
None of the pressure. What did I see? Was it a shadow or was it like a fleck?
Right.
It's hard. You're just a little lowly groundhog.
It's hard out there for a groundhog.
It is.
Those were actually like some of the best stories, I think. We've had a great week of stories. It's important to acknowledge when we're blessed because sometimes it's, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel. Today and all days this week were really fabulous. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. That could be a contributing factor.
I thought of that as well. So before we dive into our Employee of the Month segment, let's go to Queenie and Weenie of the Week, our weekly segment where Jackie and I bestow the honor to two individuals, people, place, or things. You know, it's flexible. Someone is going to be Queenie of the Week and someone is going to be Weenie of the Week. A Queenie of the Week would do something that, you know, was Queenie-like, and a Weenie would do something that was Weenie-like. So let's start with Queenie because I happen to have one, and I think this will come as a shock to absolutely nobody that my Queenie of the Week was Andrew Huberman. He brought me so much joy this week. Like that article, I've been talking about it in my personal life, on social media, the content, like it was so funny and it was so fabulous. And I feel like I'm like obsessed with him now. Did you see like-
He posted a video.
We were speculating like, how is he gonna handle this? Does he have crisis PR? Is there gonna be a statement? Nope, went right back on his Instagram posting.
Talking about sunlight.
Yeah, like obsessed in the comments. The comments were like, we're obsessed with you, Huber, don't stop. It wasn't overwhelmingly negative. It seems like he is an audience of people with good heads on their shoulders. You know, they're not going to be like, cancel Huberman is over party. Like, I have immense respect for this person whose name I seriously like barely knew prior to Monday. So for that, I'm grateful. You?
I agree. Huberman was my runner up, but my Queenie of the Week, I think, is everyone's Queenie of the Week month year. And that's Kate Middleton.
Yeah, she was up there for me.
She is going through it and she's just handling it with so much grace and patience, even though everyone is a fucking nut job.
So my
and she never even said in her video, like, she just keeps being like, thank you so much for like your support. And it's like, girl, they weren't supporting you, but she's too big to even say like, you fucking clowns, you look like clowns.
So my, one of my weenies of the week that I'll just decide now was the people.
The public.
Post Kate Middleton's video, which really shut everyone down. There are still people being like, it's a fake video. Her ring disappears in 1 second. Her hair looks fake. This is an old...
She wore that sweater 10 right. years ago and they made a deep fake based on the video.
Those people like clearly have nothing going on in their life and like they're addicted to the high of like everybody. It was fun, you know, for a while. And they're really pissing me off. And they're my weenies of the week.
My weenie of the week. So ours are very like inverted because my weenie of the week is the writer of the article.
Jackie, I'll just send you a screenshot. My other runner-up was author of the article.
The writer of the article, an 8,000-word story, the cover of New York Magazine, for the fact that, like, Huberman likes to get it in. He likes women. He likes a right. lot of them.
Yeah, I agree. That was a contender for me as well.
That was insane. Like, we need to, like, zoom out on that. Not just the article that, like, there was a Huber attempted takedown, like, the cover of New York Magazine. For what?
No, especially like we're in an election year. There's a war. Like there's so much going on in the world. It's not like it's like quiet times.
Yeah. The cover, just all's that to say the girlies love Huberman and Huberman loves the girlies.
And the thing is, it really moved the needle. Not at all.
Claudia, and he didn't go camping when he said he was going to go camping. And he's not prompt. And he loves his dog who I heard it passed away since like from the stress of the article.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. When Sarah was talking about like dog tings, that was like years ago.
He has since passed away.
Like imagine what Huberman's going through.
No, that must have made like this week, which I'm sure has been challenging for Huberman. Nobody likes to be, you know, written about like that. I'm sure, you know, because I can relate. If Theo was a big part of my cancellation and his name was kind of being besmirched and there was nothing I or he could do about it. Like actually, I'm being dead serious. Like it would really bother me.
Yeah. Also, I found the person who people believe to be Sarah, which based on context clues, like is her. I found her Instagram. Have you looked at it yet?
Send it to me right now.
It is a treat.
What is it like?
It's very, like, honestly, it's who you would think Huberman would get into a relationship with. Like, oh my God, even this first video.
Oh my God, send it right now. I'm obsessed. Okay.
Oh my God, you have to watch the video I just sent you.
Oh my God, she's female Huberman. She's Fuberman.
I'm shocked it didn't work out.
I know. Well, she cooks.
Yeah, that's her thing. She's always cooking, like, but outside. It's very homesteady and, like, health and heart health. Female, like, she is his mate. I'm sad it didn't work out for them.
Damn. But,
you know, he can't be monogamous, so...
Let's dive into our inaugural segment, our inaugural episode of Employee of the Month. So, Jax, who are you putting forward for Employee of the Month? I'm waiting with bated breath.
This month, I'm putting forward Leonard.
What?
Yeah, Turdy gets my nomination for Employee of the Month.
Oh man, I so didn't see this coming.
Because obviously she's my Employee of the Month every month. But I do feel like early in the month, Turdy really made like strong progress. She recorded 2 vlogs mm-hmm. for the Patreon by herself, really contributing to premium content. And I know it's later in the month, so those things kind of get washed away by later events, but it doesn't go unseen. I feel like that sort of entrepreneurial spirit, content creation, premium content creation is why for me, you're the Employee of the Month.
I'm honored. Thank you for noticing. And it's so funny that you nominated me because I actually was going to nominate you.
Oh. Lying.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm planning this trip to Israel and, you know, I have a pit about like taking, I'm like a nut, like with the show. And I brought it up to you and I was ready for you to be like, rightfully like, oh, well maybe you could record like from, you know, Gaza. Like, and I would have done it, but like without question, you were like, I got it. And you didn't even like, let me help with the guests. You were like, I got it. And to know that I'm leaving it in such fabulous hands and you didn't like make me feel bad about it, like that was giving elite employee energy. It really was.
Of course, it's my turn. This show is a balance. I feel like the last 2 years you've done way more guests than I have. When you're on tour, I do more guests than you and you're traveling, you're doing important work. I'm going to make you podcast from Israel.
But it just made me like more excited for my trip and just like feel good, you know?
Yeah.
We've got each other's backs.
Gotta reach out to my network.
Yeah, you do. So that was Elite Employee of the Month. We'll be back next month, so you don't have to hear from us for another 4 weeks. That is also our show. Now, let's just do like a quick touch base. You know, at the beginning of the show, we weren't like kind of like feeling life. How are you feeling now?
Wonderful. I do feel like I've gotten it through my thick head that it's Friday.
Thick.
Tick. And I can enjoy Friday.
I love that.
And I don't, what am I doing this weekend? Oh, happy Easter, everyone. Easter.
Happy Easter. Oh my gosh. Yes, to all of our, you know.
Up on us. A March Easter. How do you guys feel about that?
Followers in Christ, enjoy.
Do you guys like an early Easter or no?
I feel like it's like Easter weather is such a huge part of it because so much of it is outside. Yeah. Although here in New York, it's gorgeous. It's supposed to be gorgeous all weekend. So I hope that keeps up for the Christian girlies.
Yeah. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy. Oh
God. It's time to end the show.
Happy Easter.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Chosen Melania Morning Show, where we deliver the fast-size stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Love ya. Bye.
Booyakasha.